The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
You may remember yesterday we heard from a sex worker who thinks we should decriminalise prostitution. So today we'll be looking at the other side of the argument. But first, here's Niall Colbert with your news headlines.
Thanks, Frank. A healthcare assistant has been jailed for 11 years today for raping an elderly woman at a Dublin nursing home back in April. Families who are housed at a direct provision centre in Carrick-Sylvain in County Kerry will be moved out by the end of next week. It comes after 32 residents at the former Skellig Star Hotel went on hunger strike earlier this week. Donald Trump has suggested delaying this year's US presidential election in a series of tweets. The Data Protection Commission has questioned if the collection of people's information at airports by social welfare inspectors was lawful. And I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here will be back this autumn. ITV has also confirmed production on Britain's Got Talent is also going to resume. Those are your headlines, Frank. We'll have more on the 5 at 5.
Great stuff. Thanks, Niall. 087 4100 102 if you want to get in touch with the show by text or WhatsApp. Now, they've had the longest break ever, but come the end of next month, parents will once again be waving their little ones off to school. That's assuming the government's roadmap doesn't develop any crinkles along the way. We heard from a parent earlier in the week who was adamant he wasn't sending his son back to school because he didn't feel that his safety could be guaranteed and he didn't want to run the risk of the virus crossing his threshold. A new report from Barnardo's has found he's not alone, with a fifth of parents surveyed feeling the same way. Jen Hogan, parenting columnist, author and mother of seven. How do you feel about the kids going back to school?
Hiya, Frank. I'm cautious, but I'm comfortable about them going back. I mean, I have two children with asthma, so I suppose I'm a little bit extra worried maybe about those, but I'm glad they're going back. I'm not overly anxious. I think I'll be happier when I have a clear idea about what to expect. Obviously, the schools haven't had very much time yet. They've only heard about the roadmap earlier this week. So I don't know what's ahead of me. And I have a very young child who's due, my four-year-old's due to start school in September. We've no idea. It's very hard to prepare him because I don't know what school is going to look like for him. All I know is that the word is we will not be able to go into the classroom like you typically would when a child is starting school. We won't be able to do things like that. And he's obviously been out of school since last March. So that's nearly 6 months by the time he goes back. That's a huge portion of a four-year-old's life, you know, to be away from school. And I can certainly see at home he has become quite an anxious little boy, having been a very, very calm and confident little dude. He's the youngest of seven. He's so familiar, I suppose, even with the run to the school at this stage, it's no big deal to him. But I can see that being out of school had a huge impact on him. And I suppose I'm a bit concerned for him about how it's all going to play out. And I feel a little bit helpless because it's hard to prepare a child when you don't know actually what to expect.
Yeah. Look, hold that thought because I want to bring in Stella O'Malley, a psychotherapist and author. And she has been listening to what you've said there, Jen. And that's, I suppose, a classic example of, you know, the consequences of being out of school and having your routine being thrown asunder at such a young age, isn't it, Stella?
Yeah, it is. It's thrown a lot of children. I do think that there's been an awful lot of anxiety foisted upon children, and there's little we could do about it. The last few months have been very anxious, and, you know, never before have schools closed. So it would be very unusual for a child not to have become anxious at some point in the last 6 months. But I really do think that it's time that we now put mental health front and centre of the kind of the comeback, because it would be very easy for children to disintegrate. I do think uncertainty is the most horrible feeling for somebody who's feeling anxious. And that's what we're being left to face with, is uncertainty. But we do have a good record with the COVID. I know there's been some terrible tragic deaths, but there has been, it's been well managed. I look at other countries in slight horror when I look over at the UK and America, and I do feel that we felt they were in charge and we felt that health was put front and centre and that now it's being assessed and we are calmly going back to school in the right and proper way at the right and proper time. So I do think, therefore, we can kind of get confidence from that, and therefore we can use that confidence to calm the children down and say, this is in hand, we've got it.
Yeah, and that's really important, isn't it? Because there's a real fear factor around the virus, and children are afraid of catching it and potentially passing it on to, you know, an elderly relative like a grandparent. So parents need to be very careful and mindful not to feed into those irrational worries, would you agree?
Yeah, I would. I've heard a lot of stories of children being afraid to leave the car to get into the playground because they're too scared of what's out there. And I've heard a lot of stories as well of children afraid to hug their grannies and granddads because they're afraid of passing on the COVID. And in a way, it's up to us to kind of intervene at this point and say, listen, you know, we've done very well now, and now we have to make sure that we remember not to kind of give way to kind of irrational worries. It's very, very easy for an anxious parent to collude with an anxious child, and the two of them become very anxious together. It becomes very chemical almost between the two of them, and they both feed into each other's worries, and the anxious parent becomes anxious about the parent being about the child being anxious. The child is anxious. The parent is becoming more anxious about the child's anxiety. It becomes a spiral of anxiety, and it really, really is very destructive. And that's where the parent has to kind of step back and think, I need to watch my anxiety and make sure that I'm being cheerful and relaxed, and I'm modelling that. And if I'm anxious, I need to attend to that in times when I'm not in front of the child.
Jen, have you been cheerful and relaxed around the kids?
That's the funny thing, Frank. I'm not anxious about COVID. I don't think I have been the whole way through, save in the very beginning when it first came out and none of us knew what to expect. But I am actually, I'm cautious but quite relaxed, and yet still it's filtered down to my youngest that there is this fear. It's really, I think it's just that whole change in his routine possibly. And for me, it's not being able to prepare him fully yet for what lies ahead in September. Ordinarily, you'd have had that transition period coming out of Montessori and the holidays being that kind of period that we relax and look forward to. And now, it's that uncertainty, as Stella's saying. It's we've 4 weeks to go. We still have a lot of uncertainty, and that's kind of hard. My older kids are very much looking forward to getting back. They can't wait to go back. There isn't really any anxiety there with them. For me, I suppose I'd have a bit of uncertainty about what might lie ahead, even for my transition year students. How is transition year going to look when they can't do work?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about like that. Is there any point in going ahead with the transition year this year?
You know, I've actually asked that question. I'm half wondering, because I suppose even when you look in Ireland nowadays, there is that tendency for a lot of us to start our children a little bit older in school now. There's kind of that move towards children being five starting school. So a lot of children going into transition year now are maybe 16 or will turn 16 early in transition year. And maybe even be 17 by the end of it. And it's a whole year out of their education, where normally it's a great year. It gives them that exposure to real life, a little bit of work experience, a time to mature and grow up and maybe think a little bit about what they might like to study for the Leaving Cert. They'll still have certain aspects of that, but there is a huge portion of it going to be gone. Certain trips won't be feasible. And I don't mean the foreign trips, the trips going abroad, big class trips, maybe camping trips, things like that may not be feasible now. And things like the work experience, which is a huge part of transition year, that time for kind of experimenting. So there is a huge amount of it. There's a huge amount of uncertainty. As I said, none of my kids are anxious, and I'm cautious without being anxious. But I probably am I probably am more concerned about the littlest fella, even though I don't say to him. He's very much on top, say, of all the different protocols and the routines, and he washes his hands a lot. That's not going to be a problem when he goes to the school, but he certainly has become much more conscious about things like that. And even though that hasn't been pushed from home, he's just observing so much about him, society about him, the different regime when you go to the shops. Everything is so different.
But I wonder
now.
I imagine, you know, when I started to go back into restaurants after the restrictions were lifted, I did experience a little bit of anxiety. It was a very strange world, obviously, but you kind of get used to it now, and you know, the anxiety wears away. Stella, do you think that'll happen with the kids returning to school as well? Is that the first few days may be difficult and strange, but that they will kind of get used to it and get into a rhythm, and those anxiety levels should drop?
Well, it certainly could. It could certainly go like that. It would very much depend on the school administration, the teachers and the principals, because that will be the atmosphere of the school in a way. Because society, as you know, Jen has really explained there, society has foisted this upon the kids' shoulders. It wasn't us as such. But then it'll be school who are going to set the tone. And in fairness to the school, they are going to be so strung out with stress, as they will be in the unknown, and they will be so afraid of being the school where COVID breaks out, that there's going to be an awful lot of very tense teachers and very tense principals. And I'd be afraid that they forget, actually, you know, we really have to lead from the front here and make sure that this is a cheerful and joyful educational experience for everybody, because it could become an absolutely wretchedly tense place if the school administration weren't careful. And I say that with the knowledge that this is difficult. It won't be easy. But I do think it's very important.
I think it's fair to say that all the stakeholders really want to make this work. All the teachers want to get back to work. All the principals want to get back to work. You know, the students, the pupils, they want to get back into the classroom. It just has to be managed properly. And I've raised concerns on the show before. We've had people talking about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks to put these measures in place. To me, seems like a tall ask. But let's talk a little bit about some of the measures that were announced earlier in the week as part of the roadmap. Jen, there's talk of staggered drop-off times, for example. How can you see that working in your situation?
I'm looking at what I've witnessed over the many years I've been doing school runs, and I actually think they could prove to be more problematic than just the ordinary drop time. Because I think if you're like me and you've got several children, you're going to a school, if say, for example, I take the primary school, I've got four children in primary school now, so if I'm going along and all four of them have to go in at different times, am I supposed to drop, come home? That's not likely. It's not likely to happen with me, it's not likely to happen with other parents. And so you could find that you have a lot more congregating. I also have children who are in secondary school, and I don't know, will bus capacity be increased? Is it realistic that they'll be actually able to get to school now on public transport? I may need to get them, transport them to the secondary school myself. That means I need to be in two places at the one time. And the same with the collections later. I think we'll find a lot more parents hanging around. I hope there's a lot of thought given to that, because I think that could be much more problematic than the original setup. Maybe if we're just encouraged to drop and go. But the staggered drop-off and the staggered collection could involve parents hanging around an awful lot more.
Yeah. Look, Jen, we'll have to leave it there. You've got a very busy few weeks ahead of you, so best of luck with
it.
And thanks very much for joining us. And Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist and author, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.